Eucharist means thanksgiving, our sacrament of remembrance. That was the sermon of September 5th. And our sacrament of presence, that will be the sermon of November 7th, is also the sacrament of thanksgiving, which is our sermon today for World Communion Sunday. Are you a grateful person? Does your day begin with a whisper, a word of thanks for all that is? Does the mealtime, which punctuates each day, begin with a silence or a gesture or a meditation of gratitude? Does, as the covers are turned down, does the day end at twilight with a thanks be to God? Does your week begin with a moment of thanksgiving, as in a service of worship or some other similar gathering? Do the days which bring reason for notes and words of remembrance and gratitude, is there space and time in your life? And when your work is done, is there a place, is there a table at which you can rest to give thanks? One dear 18-year-old student, in innocent eloquence this week, said, it's a beautiful sentence in American English, I try to be a grateful person. And you? Gratitude requires a gathered community, a living community, a particular language, and a personal experience. You are gathered in a community of faith centered on thanksgiving. The Bible tells us so. The writer, a student of Paul, 2 Timothy, rings out as the passage begins, I am grateful. The 100th Psalm, one of the great choruses of faith. Psalms are either laments or thanksgiving. Thanksgivings, today we have appropriately a full thanksgiving, sings out a word of gratitude. And our gospel today about outside and inside takes you to the marrow of the inward journey, which is the Eucharist. Now, for those of you who may have missed a phrase or two in today's World Communion reading of the gospel in Spanish, let me say again that this is an account, Luke 17, of a slave who works all the livelong day in the field and then comes home and is asked to set a table. It is a teaching about field work and homework. And the good news is, and the challenge of the gospel is, your field work is not a substitute for your domestic duties. Wednesday does not substitute for Sunday. The outward journey is not a replacement for the inward journey, and plow and furrow are not a replacement for linen and table and candle and inward being. That is, your field work does not replace your domestic duties. You have at the heart of the inward journey is an experience, a language, and a community of thanksgiving. We might remember St. Augustine, who put it this way, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Or we could, in this chancel, remember John Wesley, who said, I found my heart finally, and finally, he said, strangely warmed. Or Friedrich Schleiermacher, who spoke of and wrote of a feeling, not an emotion, a sense, a feeling of absolute dependence. Or Tillich, who preached about accepting your own acceptance. Or Howard Thurman, who spoke about the sense of timelessness. Or Miguel de Unamuno, speaking particularly to an academic community. After all, he lived in a fine academic community in Salamanca most of his life. It takes one to know one, said he. Warmth, warmth, warmth. We are dying of cold. not of darkness. It is not the night that kills. It is the frost. That is, it is not the night of unknowing that kills. It is the frost of unloving. Now, we in the academic community have reason in gratitude to hear this. I mean, we spend our time writing articles, preparing monographs, writing books, and sometimes we get to that sense that if we can just write it out, we won't have to live it through. Nothing could be further from the truth. Understanding is good. Overcoming is great. It is not the night that kills. It is the frost. Joan Chittister and Rowan Williams have recently written a book titled Uncommon Gratitude. She asks him in the opening of the book, what is it about the spiritual life that holds you day by day? And he said, it's an ongoing meditation on the single word, Alleluia. Are you a grateful person? A community alone won't bring gratitude. Thanksgiving also requires a particular language. You know, for all of its faults, some years ago, George Lindbeck's book on the nature of doctrine did remind us that we do, to some degree, learn faith like we learn language, one preposition at a time, one concept at a time, one experience at a time. We grow in our capacity to give thanks as we learn the language of thanks. Jonathan Franzen's new novel titled Freedom is about what he says in part is about the loss of the real things in our time. They're slipping away, says he, the honest, the authentic things, they're dying off. Almost a similar reminder to our gospel, your fieldwork is no substitute for your homework. The day is followed by the evening as well. We've had some incidents in our culture and even in student cultures that concern us, especially this week, with a harsh and harrowing, so tragic experience from our poor young man atop the George Washington Bridge. Student culture can be degenerate, unkind, graceless. So can most of the rest of culture. Students don't have a market, a corner on the market of such difficulties. But we are called in the life of the community of faith to influence the culture around us with forms of kindness and a language of gratitude. Perhaps you noticed, as we did, that the capacity to remember religious terms and language is not overly great in this country. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Who instigated the Protestant Reformation? Luther. Who received the Ten Commandments? Moses. In case you didn't know, I bring them, but religious literacy shows that more than half can't easily answer, except the atheists and agnostics who do very well. We have some language development to attend to. Gratitude comes by hearing and seeing the language of faith lived. Sometimes people wonder, should we bring our children to church and worship? And while there are many fine responses to that good question, especially in a context like ours where there is no cultural expectation of such, we might at least point out that children are not always naturally grateful. We benefit from the examples and voices of others, like the dear older saint who said once, if you see a turtle atop a fence post, you can be pretty sure he didn't get there on his own. It's a recognition of gratitude, a community and a language of thanksgiving. You have it. Community and listenership of Marsh Chapel, you live in thanksgiving. Your faces and your voices show it each Sunday. And you've lived through a decade of other language and terms. Just listen to the terms of the last 10 years. Y2K, dangling Chad, 9/11, shock and awe, collateral damage, housing bubble, credit default swap, leveraged speculation, bursting bubble, hope and change, great recession, jobless recovery. This has been one anxiety-ridden decade past, but here you are, come Sunday, to sing again with Rowan Williams, the song of the church, and focus for a moment on the word Alleluia, giving our voice in thanksgiving. Community and language bring us a sense of thanksgiving, but you know there's nothing like personal experience to teach us. We had an English teacher who said once his words had an ominous ring. There are some things that should not have to be learned from experience, and right he was. And yet, in experience, particularly in the inward journey, the interior, invisible, inside work, we grow best through our own experience. 4 years ago, a friend and I went house to house in a sprawling suburb, completing a capital campaign to offer those of our fellowship the opportunity to support the work, those who hadn't yet had that chance. And we went from one large new house, beautiful they were, to another large new house, beautiful they were. My friend could tell me the cost, the value of each. It astounded me. But do you know, when on occasion we were invited in, sometimes, not always, these new homes owned by young adults, young couples, beautiful grass and lawn, beautiful driveway, nice exterior, hardly anything inside, hardly a piece of furniture inside. They could afford the mortgage, but that was it. And I wonder now how many are in foreclosure. And I wonder further, more deeply, whether the real foreclosure of our time is not so much constructed as it is spiritual. Think about it for a moment. Just how many of our lives have manicured lawns, so to speak, and covered driveways, so to speak, and lovely exteriors, so to speak, and the mortgage, more or less, is paid. Our field work is done. But inside, emptiness. Not a table, not a scrap of linen or a candle or a way to give thanks morning, afternoon, and evening. We are in a time perhaps more of a spiritual foreclosure. I wonder about the students who are here with a kind of subsidized freedom provided by their parents. How do we and all gain a heart of gratitude? I wonder about young adults who are giving themselves week by month by year to the building of the exterior in life, but have an interior of emptiness. And I wonder about those who have been given education and preparation and now position and need to find a way to cultivate the inward journey. Job and profession and computer and desk, calendar and all, are no substitute for soul, spirit, heart, the inward journey of faith. That's what the Gospel of Luke 17 reminds us. Now, there will be among us some pragmatists or some Methodists or some pragmatic Methodists who will ask, and just how do I find, Dean Hill, the way toward that interior life? Well, if the root of the spiritual life and the inward journey is thanksgiving, gratitude, which it is, you might start with the giving in thanksgiving. I am confident that if you in your own experience will imagine and then provide a gift, real, costly, and spot on to someone, you will know fully the feeling, not emotion, the sense of gratitude, which is the heart of our word and table today. My wife went to a worship service elsewhere this summer in a church that had dispensed with the offering, the offertory, and the offertory plates. And she came back incensed. I don't think it was only her Scottish background and inheritance. And she said, there's something missing. And that is the heart of thanksgiving, is a capacity to know the joy of giving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. May this community, may your developing tongue, may your personal experience be rooted and grounded in the giving that gives life to thanksgiving. Amen.